Good morning, church. My name is Vern Collins, one of the pastors on staff at Boone United Methodist Church. And just know that we would much rather be gathered together in the room. We'd much rather be able to fellowship, hug one another's necks, spend time together in worship, in prayer, in the word, giving of ourselves to the Lord through volunteering, through serving, through our offering, through lifting our voices together. However, we made the decision along with our church leadership that it would be best to stay home today. Our hope and prayer is that we woke up this morning and this storm did not have the ice and freezing rain that was forecasted, that instead we got a bunch of snow and we got to get out and play in it. However, it does not seem like, at least as the forecast was leading up to the time when we made the decision yesterday, did not seem like that was going to be the case. And so just wanted to do our part in making sure that we were not giving you a reason or an excuse to get out. Now, I know, listen, some of you are like, I don't even need a reason. The weather gets bad. I just feel like I need to take it upon myself to do my part, to go out, check on things, see how it is. Listen, that's between you and the Lord, but I will say, if it is poor, outside, then, we don't need to give emergency personnel, another person that they have to deal with. So we hope that you are safe, warm and well. I would like to say here at the outset, if you do need assistance or help, of any kind, you can call the church office. There is a way to reach a pastor on call, but you can also, if you know, if you have my contact information, any of our pastors or staff, or just anyone in the church, if you yourself need some help or assistance, or if you know of anyone who does as a result of this weather that we've gotten, then please don't hesitate to reach out, and we will do everything in our power to make sure that we can serve you. So, let's begin. I want to begin our time in the Word with a time in prayer. So if you would pray with me. Gracious God, we are thankful to know that you are sovereign over all things, that even in a storm like this, even in our best attempts to forecast and prepare, you are the only one who is truly prepared, and you are the only one who truly knows and has known how this would play out. But God, as we are gathering virtually, as we are spending some time together in the Word, then I pray that in the way that only you can, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would knit our hearts together, that even as we are separated geographically, even as we are not in the same room together, Holy Spirit, that you would knit our hearts together, that we would feel a deep connection to you and to one another. And I pray that as we open your word and continue to consider this invitation and this call to prayer, Lord, that you would inspire us, that you would challenge us, that your word would be, as it says of itself, alive and active, that you would use it to penetrate us to the deepest parts of who we are. We pray your protection and safety over everyone, all who are in the hearing of my voice, all who are affected by this storm. We pray that you would give us eyes, ears to see, Lord, where there is need, and hands and feet that are willing to step in. We love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who stepped in and came to our rescue. Amen. Well, this morning we are continuing in our series on prayer, and what a perfect text for us this morning, because Paul's instruction to the church in Thessalonica and the very simple instruction that he gives for prayer, it's an opportunity for us to practice this this morning. It's an opportunity for us to practice it today, and as we navigate the storm, whether that is through power outages, whether that is being stuck at home, with friends and family, whether that is being stuck at home or wherever you are alone. It is a perfect opportunity for us to practice what Paul is talking about here. So we invite you to enter into this with that heart and with that spirit. And I'll say here too, I know that this is a little bit different, that really what you're getting is me offering prayers on our behalf and reading the word and then offering you some thoughts on this word. You do not want me leading you in worship this morning. I would invite you to go back and watch a previous service, allow one of our praise teams or allow our choir to lead you in worship, or find, if you're able, your favorite worship music, or just practice that gift of worship in song yourself. But I promise you, you do not want me doing that. So I'm just going to offer you a word, some words that the Lord has given me on behalf of the word that we have this morning. So if you have a Bible, we will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read it and then just share a few thoughts, and then we'll close in prayer. So from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, Paul writes this: "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all, hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, obviously, there are things that Paul says here, and there are instructions that he gives that are more than just the instruction and the call to pray continually. And, you know, Paul talks about giving thanks in all circumstances. He does say, invite us to pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, rejoice always. And we'll talk a little bit about those, but know that what Paul is outlining here for the believers in Thessalonica is this is what the shape of your life together should look like. This is what it should look like for you as believers, that these are things that should mark your time together. And these are things also that should mark not only your time together, but just who you are in the Lord, rejoicing. Not ceasing in prayer, but praying continually, and then giving thanks in all circumstances. And again, this morning is a perfect opportunity for us to really practice that, to practice rejoicing, and to practice praying continually, to practice what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I want to say something there, because we have to be careful not to make this just some Christian platitude where you're just told you should rejoice in all things, you should give thanks in all circumstances. And if you are without power this morning, if you are in a home that is cold, if you are in a well and you're without power, you have a difficult time drawing water. There are a number of reasons in circumstances like this where we have to be careful not to take the call to rejoice and give thanks as a way to ignore the challenge of a circumstance that we may be in. But what Paul is saying here is not to give thanks for all circumstances, rather to give thanks in all circumstances. Similarly, verse 16 is not just about turning on some sort of happiness. Rather, the call and the invitation to rejoice always is to see the hand of God in whatever is happening and to remain certain of God's presence, God's power, God's sovereignty, and ultimately God's future salvation that he has promised us in Jesus Christ. So I hope that helps to maybe frame this in a way that's a little bit different than just saying, yeah, you should always rejoice, you should always give thanks. Sometimes it is incredibly difficult for us to do that. But one of the things that helps to put us in a place where we are able to do that is, in fact, to pray continually, to practice this. So this would be week 4 for us in this series on on prayer. And the first week we looked simply at this idea that prayer is the chief means by which we abide with God. It is the catalyst for that abiding that Jesus talks about in John chapter 15. So prayer is the means by which we abide. In week two, I know in Crossroads, Eric looked at this promise and this hope that we have from Hebrews chapter 4, that we are able to approach with confidence the throne of grace, that in our seeking to abide, in our seeking to prayer, that we can come confidently before the Lord. And there's a book by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly. And in it, the whole book is framed on Matthew chapter 11 and Jesus's invitation, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." And in it, he says that, you know, the very thing that we tend to think would disqualify us from coming before the Lord, the very thing that would disqualify us, our weakness, our failure, our shame, our, you know, not getting it right, not having come to the Lord in a long time. Dane says that our weakness is the very thing that qualifies us to come. So to approach with confidence the throne of grace. And that same week, Pastor Ed looked at this invitation from Luke's gospel that Jesus says, "Ask, seek, knock." Again, that is coming confidently before the Lord. And then last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit meets us in that weakness. There's this, I shared this in my after Sunday short video that I shot at the beginning of last week. But there's this legend, the story of Susanna Wesley, who was mother to John and Charles Wesley, who were two of her 19 children. And there's a legend or story that goes, she was asked the question, "Which of your children do you give attention to?" And she said, "The one who is sick, the one who is hurting, the one who is lost." And so even in that, we see this picture of a God who knows our weakness, enters into our weakness. It is in our weakness that God seeks us, pursues us, finds us, and draws us to himself. And he does that by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit meets us in our weakness and leads us in the way that we pray when we don't feel like we have words to pray. So as we consider what Paul's instruction here to the church in Thessalonica, and this letter was written as a letter of encouragement. The Thessalonians came to know Jesus through Paul's missionary work. You see that in Acts chapter 17. And Paul had to leave Thessalonica because of the danger of persecution. So he leaves there. It wasn't safe for him to be there. People had come to him, and he remained concerned for the people there. And so he sent Timothy to go and check on him because he was afraid that they were going to cave to the pressure of this persecution and that they would eventually give up their hope. But what happens is that Timothy comes back and he says, "Paul, the opposite has happened. These people are flourishing in the face of persecution. They are flourishing. Their faith is not being diminished. Their faith is growing in the face of persecution." And so what Paul does is to quickly write this letter and send it as an encouragement to keep on, to keep pressing into the Lord, to keep doing what they're doing. And I think for so many of us, that is a word of challenge, and that is a word of encouragement for us. So as we think about this invitation to pray continually, I know that for some, you're like, "Hold on, I have a difficult enough time as it is, like praying remembering to pray when I should, you know, to bow my head and pray at mealtime or to pray, you know, when I lay my head down at night. How in the world do you expect me to be able to pray continually?" And I want to say some things about it that I hope will be helpful and an encouragement to all of us. But the first thing I want to say is that this is never meant to replace, and Paul would say this too, this is never meant to replace the invitation and the call to like focused and intense times of prayer. Those are vital. We saw Jesus in Mark chapter 1. Jesus wakes up early in the morning before any of his disciples, and he goes away to be with the Father. He goes to spend that intentional, purposeful intense time in prayer with the Father. So those things are incredibly important. We see the psalmists often write about rising early in the morning to seek the Lord, to go and be with God. So this is not, it's not an either or. Either you have these intense, focused, intentional times of prayer, or you can just pray continually throughout your day. If prayer first and foremost is about abiding, then prayer first and foremost is about relationship. And we need to stay connected in relationship to the Father, the one who knows us, the one who loves us, the one whose Spirit, as Jesus says in John's Gospel, leads us into all truth. And there's something that's incredibly, that I found incredibly helpful in thinking about prayer. And that is something that Paul Miller says about Jesus's relationship to the Father in prayer. He says this in his book, A Praying Life, which has been really helpful for me as we've been in this series to read from this. But he says this: when you know that you, like Jesus, can't do life on your own, then prayer makes complete sense. But it goes deeper than that. Jesus defines himself only in relationship with his heavenly Father. Adam and Eve began their quest for self-identity after the fall. So after they took that which God told them not to, at that point they begin to try to figure out who they are. They began their quest for self-identity only after the fall. Only after they acted independently of God did they have a sense of a separate self. Because Jesus has no separate sense of self, he has no identity crisis, no angst. Consequently, he does not try to find himself. He knows himself only in relationship with his Father. He can't conceive of himself outside of that relationship. So at the heart, Paul's encouragement to the church in Thessalonica, in yes, rejoicing, always giving thanks in all circumstances, but in encouraging and challenging them to pray continually, Paul is encouraging and challenging them to remain connected in relationship to the Father, to a God who loves them, to define their lives and their understanding of who they are based on that relationship. And friends, for so many of us, that is where we have gone astray. We forget what God speaks over us. We become convinced of the opinions of others or the things that the world says that we believe should be important. And so we start to lose ourselves as a result of that. The invitation and the call to pray continually is at its heart an invitation to remain connected in that abiding relationship and then to be able to define our lives by who we are in the Lord, our understanding of self by who we are in the Lord, not by the opinions and the thoughts of others. And so to pray continually, to enter into that time of prayer, to make that a part of our language throughout the day, would be like versus those kind of intense, focused times of prayer. I thought of the difference when I am backpacking between carrying a water bottle in my bag that I have to stop and unzip my bag and pull out the water bottle and take a drink. And there's something really beautiful about that when you've been hiking for any great distance or when you've covered some difficult terrain, the gift of being able to stop and rest and open your bag and to be replenished and to be nourished, to be filled by that drink of water. That's important. But one of the things that I learned in my time on Wilderness Trail when I was working with the youth at our church is the value of having a camelback is what it's called, but a water bladder with a hose attached to it that was always right here. So even as I was walking, I could constantly take a sip of that. I had it at all times. I was able to access that water at all times. And so as I've thought about this difference between those focused and intense times of prayer and Paul's instruction for us to pray continually is to have that constant access to the source, that constant access to that which will nourish us, which will give us life, which will sustain us and allow us to continue on. And here's the beauty of it. It doesn't have to be anything complicated. No prayer has to be. But to pray continually, the thing that tends to be overwhelming for us about it is to think, I just don't know if I can find the words or say the right words or focus enough to do that. And there are just, I want to offer just a couple of things before I close this. One is that the very act, we look at the way that Jesus prayed and the words that Jesus used. We'll get into the Lord's Prayer in the season of Lent, but even in Jesus crying out or calling out Abba, which is the word that essentially we would use the word Dada, Abba, Dada. It is a word of intimacy. Just the very act, the simple act of under your breath, saying that word over and over again. So I invite you to practice that. Close your eyes, be still, and just say, repeat that word, Abba, Abba, Abba. We are literally saying the words that Jesus spoke when he was talking with his heavenly Father. Now, I want us to use a word that's more familiar. Again, still with your eyes closed. Let's use the word Father. 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 Practice that throughout this day. Just muttering the words, even a whisper, even not out loud, but to yourself, to pray that word, Father, 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 over and over again. It's to acknowledge that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you. It's to acknowledge that you want to know Him, your need for Him. There's another prayer that we can pray over and over again as we're practicing this praying continually. And if it is about relationship, it is about using words and putting ourselves in a posture throughout the day where we are able to connect with God. The second would be what is known as the Jesus Prayer. And the Jesus Prayer is quite simply, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this is a 5th century prayer. So this goes back to, the church was relatively young at that point, but a prayer, a common prayer in the life of the church, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is acknowledging that Jesus is Lord. As the Christ, it is acknowledging that He is Savior. Son of God, it is acknowledging the Heavenly Father. It is seeking His mercy. It is acknowledging our weakness. And again, our weakness is the very thing that qualifies us to come before Him. Another thing that we might be able to do, that you might be able to practice, is to pray the hours or to pray the daily offices. This is borrowed from our brothers and sisters in the Anglican church, and that is to spend time in prayer in the morning, spend time in prayer at noon, spend time in prayer in the evening, and then spend time in prayer in what's called the comp line, or the very end of your day. That would be right before bed. So maybe that's a simple, a more bite-sized way to start, to set aside, even if you set an alarm on your watch. My alarm still goes off at 8:56. Psalm 85:6, revive us, O Lord, that we may worship you. That was back from years ago when we did our tent revival. But that's still a prayer that I pray over us as a church, something as simple as that. Setting an alarm those 3 or 4 times during your day and offering a simple prayer, going to the Lord. Paul Miller, again, in that book says praying out loud is helpful because it keeps you from getting lost in your head. And he says that the other thing that praying out loud does is it reminds us that we are praying to a God who is alive. That he is in the room with us, that he is present. And so to use words out loud, you can do this while you're walking, you can do this while you're running, you can do it while you're riding in your car. But to speak the name of the Lord, to pray to God out loud, and to make that a part of the rhythm of our lives and our day. And he says that any time to start is the best time to start. To practice at the very, base is just get going. Give yourself 5 minutes and just seek to practice that discipline of abiding prayer for 5 minutes. And then he says, keep going. Once you've done that, you continue to practice that. So some of the things that we can pray as we're seeking to pray continually, to pray the scriptures. Is there a verse that you know that is a favorite of yours? To turn that into a prayer. The Psalms were the prayer and praise, the worship book of God's people. So to take some of those Psalms and to make those your prayers, or to do something as simple as calling on the name of God, Father, 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 or to pray the Jesus prayer, to pray for another person. But the other thing is not just speaking, but it's listening, to invite the presence of the Lord and then to spend time listening. And as we do that, we will find ourselves, church, not only experiencing more of that abiding presence and relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father, but we also find that our hearts begin to be tuned to the things of God. That is, to the lives of people around us. We find that praying for people becomes more effortless. It becomes something that we long to be able to do, that we long to be able to offer to others. So I want to encourage you, as we are in this day, and again, I hope that what this day has afforded is an opportunity for us to get out and play in the snow. If so, spend that time giving thanks to God for His creation, giving thanks that though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow, and the reminder that the snow is. But if it's not, if you find yourself stuck at home, even if you're sitting by candlelight or lamplight, drinking water from plastic jugs, whatever it may be, to practice this, continually praying, speaking the name of God, listening, and just make that a part of the rhythm of your interaction this day. Just know that we are praying for you. We're excited to continue in this journey in prayer together as a church. We look forward to being able to gather together again very soon. Check on one another. Reach out to one another. If you know of a need, let us know. But know more than anything that we are on this journey together. So if you would, let me close us in prayer. Gracious God, we are so thankful that our very weakness, our need, is the thing that qualifies us to come before you. I pray that you would forgive us for all of the ways that we are convinced that we can't come to you. That anytime we begin to believe that, we would look at the life and ministry of Jesus and what he gave for us. That we would consider the cross, and it's because of the cross, God, that we're reminded that you long for us, that you love us, and that you desire for us to know that abiding relationship with you, and that we would look to the example of Jesus in prayer, that we would look to the ways that he sought you and sought to be with you. Forgive us for convincing ourselves that we can do it on our own. I pray that you would help us to humbly come before you by your Spirit, and that we would pray this practice of just continually speaking your name, inviting your presence, offering to you those things that are on our hearts, and then listening for the ways that you will speak. Lord, we love you, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' good name. Amen. Friends, have a blessed day. We look forward to connecting soon. Bye-bye.